Welcome to Heart of Iowa on KHOI Community Radio, a program featuring a patchwork quilt of artists, speakers, and individuals of note in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson. 150 years ago, the little town of Ames was first platted. This weekend, Ames is celebrating that fact with music, performances, and other events. In this show, our reporters talk with Carol Horowitz, who is organizing a Chautauqua-style variety show in Banshell Park, Nate Logsdon of Maximum Ames, who put together the lineup of bands for the musical entertainment, and B.J. Fleming, one of the local musicians who was selected to perform in Ames. We will start with a clip from one of the headliner bands for the weekend's activities, Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars.
I'm speaking with Nate Logsdon, one of the owners of Maximum Ames Music Festival and also manager of DG's Tap House. Maximum Ames booked the bands that are going to be playing on the 4th and 5th celebrations here on Main Street. Welcome to KHOI, Nate, and tell us about what's going to happen.
Thanks for having me, Ursula. We're really excited. On July 4th and 5th, there will be tons of family-friendly activities out on Main Street. Multiple blocks of Main Street will be closed for this event. We were hired by the city to book the entertainment for the Danfoss main stage, which will be right on Main Street.
So when are there going to be concerts?
July 4th and 5th, starting at noon on both days.
And then how late will it go?
It'll go until 9:30 on the 4th and the 5th. The headliner on July 4th is Sierra Leone's Refugee All-Stars, outstanding African ensemble.
I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. When there was an attempt to overthrow the government, there was a civil war in Sierra Leone from 1991 to 2002. And the resulting war lasted 11 years, really enveloped the whole country, leaving 50,000 people dead.
The founding members of the band began playing together while they were refugees in a camp in Guinea. And from there, they formed the current lineup of the ensemble. And they have become a Grammy-winning, internationally touring band that plays tons of festivals and then using music to both form a career for themselves, but also to spread a message of positivity and hope. So there's a relatively famous documentary about them and their experiences. It's pretty incredible that these gentlemen that are witnesses to atrocity, they play a music that is so celebratory of life and is very warm and welcoming and something that is celebrates the beauty of the world. So that's what these guys represent. On top of that, they have just one of the most outstanding live shows that you can see. I mean, they're incredible performers. They play really, really fun music.
Describe what their music sounds like.
They play a music that is kind of reggae-inflected. In America, we commonly would call their music Afropop. It's very bright. It has multiple rhythms all going at once. Very, very danceable. Very, very fun to listen to. Beautiful guitar playing, multiple different percussive instruments performing throughout the song. The band is also just really, really engaging in performance. They do choreographed dances. They take turns taking solos and also taking turns being the featured dancer. They'll take turns moving to center stage, playing different percussive instruments and dancing. So it's an extraordinary band. And
it's really a show.
It's really a show. And one reason we thought of them, you know, it's the 150th anniversary of Ames. And on top of just being a great show for a street party, Ames is home to a very wide variety of cultures and people from all over the world. This band taps that heritage of Ames as being very multi-ethnic, a place that is welcoming to people from all over the world. And as well, we've also had lots of distinguished scholars from Africa that have worked at and currently work at Iowa State. So they represent the multi-ethnicity of Ames that we celebrate.
How many people are in the band?
I believe that they're coming through with a 6-piece ensemble.
Mm-hmm. And they're all men?
Yes.
When are they going to play?
They're the headlining slot at 8 o'clock on July 4th. And then the next day, there's also a full day of music.
Who else is playing?
The headliners on July 5th are also very exciting and world-class talent. The main stage headliner on July 5th is Robert Randolph and the Family Band. Robert Randolph is on the Rolling Stones list of the 100 greatest guitarists of all time. He started out in gospel music and then ended up forming his own band, which incorporates a lot of, you could call it a blues band, but it also incorporates a lot of elements of gospel, roots rock, all types of American music tradition, and is also just really funky, really, really easy to dance to. And they're just absolutely world class. And Robert Randolph is considered to be one of the premier slide guitar players in the world.
He's an American
guitar player, and he'll be here with his full band on July 5th. Being able to see Robert Randolph and the Family Band is a great, great deal, and is something that people will come from all over the Midwest to see. And on the same day, opening for Robert Randolph and the Family Band is another world-class talent, Buckwheat Zydeco, one of the premier Zydeco artists in the world. He's been performing traditional New Orleans style of music for over 40 years. He's a highly accomplished accordion player, and he plays if you kind of picture in your mind what you would think of as, you know, New Orleans street festival, up-tempo music. This is the premier act in that genre, and has been a flag bearer for Zydeco for his entire career. So,
describe Zydeco a little bit.
Zydeco is it has a kind of a beat that maybe is a little bit similar to polka in a way. It's kind of oompa oompa oompa. It's very fast, so it's also polyrhythmic. There will be multiple rhythms going on at the same time. Many types of Zydeco, including this band, are accordion led. It's a traditional style of Louisiana music, but there's a lot of crossover between Zydeco and funk, or Zydeco and rock and roll. And so it's just a really fun, danceable style of music that celebrates life.
It's often associated with French, right?
Yes. Louisiana's history is so much about, you know, this combination of French and Southern elements and kind of a Cajun culture. Mm-hmm. Buckwheat Zydeco is from that culture. He's from Louisiana. And they have exported so much of what we consider American musical traditions. So New Orleans has been a hotbed for creativity and music for all of American history. That's where jazz came from. That's where funk came from. And Zydeco is another one of these indigenous musical forms that originated in Louisiana. And mm-hmm. we're going to have one of the internationally recognized progenitors of this form with no tickets needed on the street in Ames to celebrate 150th anniversary.
Great. What else?
And then on both stages, on both days, there's a lineup of local talent. So we wanted to represent a diverse group of the type of music that comes out of Ames and artists that play here now. So that includes bands like Vinyl Vagabonds, a wonderful blues and classic rock band. They'll be playing on July 5th. Holly and the Night Owls, which is a superb three-piece jazz-inflected pop group from here in Ames. There is B.J. Fleming, who is a longtime Southern blues guitarist who lived in Ames for a long time. She doesn't live in Ames anymore, but she comes through on tour a lot and has lots of friends and history here. There's a great roots rock band called Great Caesar's Goat that will be performing. There's the Ames High School Jazz Ensemble, the Jazzy Lads. They'll be playing, as well as a number of other local artists that will be supporting these world-class talents on the main stage.
That's great. It's a great combination.
Yep.
I'm speaking with Nate Loxton, who's with Maximum Ames. We're talking about the 150th anniversary celebrations, which are going to be happening on the 4th of July on the east end of Main Street, right?
The Danfoss Main stage will be on the east end of Main Street. The festival celebrations will be on multiple blocks of downtown Ames.
And we're talking about concerts on the main stage?
Correct.
Starting at noon on the 4th and the 5th?
Correct.
And going probably till around 9 or 10 o'clock at night?
9:30 each night.
Okay. A mixture of local bands and some real world-class big acts to just create a real combination of different sounds, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Nate, you have been running Maximum Ames Music Festival now for about 4 years, 5 years, is that
right? This September will be the 4th year of Maximum Ames Music Festival.
Yeah. Has it changed at all? Is it different doing it now than it was 4 years ago?
It's a lot different. Every year we learn a lot. Every year we kind of try out different formats for the festival, different styles. This is a multi-genre festival. You know, we're not easily pigeonholed. Each year our headliners have represented many different styles.
So that's something you're going for, is a diversity of types of music.
That's correct. The one thing we celebrate is how many different types of music exist in Iowa. And then also the interests of Ames music fans are extremely diverse. We really strive to have an event that is appealing to people of all ages, of all different backgrounds, and all over Ames. One thing that's going to be different this year that we haven't done before is that the entire festival will be located in downtown Ames.
Now we're talking about the Maximum Ames Music Festival, which happens in September.
That's correct. September 25th through the 28th.
When there's just a whole lot of music in town, a lot of different bands, and usually one or two headliners. And you're saying this year it's going to be all focused on downtown Ames.
The entire festival will take place in downtown, and that's the difference from previous years.
Why are you doing that?
The main reason is that customer feedback is that this festival would be more appealing if it was walkable. If you think about it, having everything in one location, that cuts down the hard choices you have to make. In the past, we would do a campus town and a downtown edition, obviously in Ames, those are on different sides of town. Festival goers would more or less have to choose a side of town that they were going to witness on any night of the festival. This year, those choices will not be as difficult because mm-hmm. you'll be in walking distance from all of the venues. And so you'll be able to go from venue to venue at will, looking at the schedule, timing out how you want to program your day. And you'll be able to catch a lot of different things all in one day without having to worry about, oh, well, now I got to get in my car and drive across town.
Mm-hmm. We're talking right now about the Maximum Ames Music Festival, which will happen in September. But before then is going to be the 4th of July and the 5th of July, which will be a major music event on Main Street, as well as a festival up and down Main Street, and also, I think, here on Douglas Avenue as well.
That's correct. The music, in fact, is only one relatively small piece of a elaborate multi-day celebration of Ames. And that multi-day celebration is only one piece of a year-long celebration of the 150th anniversary of Ames. Mm-hmm. So we're really proud to partner with the city on this because we so much love our hometown. We love our downtown community, and we are proud to run a business here. And Ames is a great place to live, great place to work. We love the history of this town, and we're really honored to be a small part of it for this event.
Okay, well, thank you for organizing it and bringing such really amazing bands.
Thank you to Local Talk and KHOI Community Radio for providing a voice for the heart of Iowa.
Do you have a website with the bands on it?
Ames150.com has descriptions of the bands as well as all the information about all the events going on during the 4th of July weekend and a full schedule of the music as well as all of the events. So that's Ames150.com.
Thank you, Nate. I've been speaking with Nate Loxton from Maximum Ames Music Festival. And also manager of DG's Tap House. Thanks for coming by, Nate, and telling us what's going to happen on the 4th and 5th.
Thanks for having me, Ursula.
Living like a refugee, it's not easy.
Yeah.
You see, I just took all the problems, the suffering of the people, and then make a song of it.
You left your country to seek refuge in another man's land. You left your country to seek refuge in another man's land. You will be confronted by strange dialects. You will be fed with unusual diets. You got to sleep in a tarpaulin house, which is so hot. You got to sleep on a tarpaulin mat, which is so cold. Oh, we on time,
living like a refugee.
I'm not.
It's not easy.
Living like a refugee,
ooh, it's not easy.
Oh, we on time,
living like a refugee.
Oh, no,
it's not easy.
It's really not easy.
Living like a refugee, it's not easy.
I want to hear my solos. Franco?
Nah?
You don't get your supply?
Computer, don't forget me anymore.
Oh, Ramasi, computer again. Arayim?
Sir?
You don't get your tarpaulin?
Protection, not consider me.
That was Nate Logsdon of Maximum Ames, and this is Heart of Iowa on KHOI Community Radio. We are exploring this weekend's sesquicentennial celebration, and now we hear from one local artist who will be performing this weekend. B.J. Fleming, interviewed by Alan Gildahouse, otherwise known as Gildy on Friday evening's Rock of the Ages.
Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Alan Gildhouse, Gildy from KHOI Radio's Rock of the Ages. We are talking with BJ Fleming, one of the artists that's going to appear at the Ames Sesquicentennial Celebration here on the 4th of July. BJ, it's very nice to talk to you. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Well, thank you for your interest in me as a performer for this festival.
And, you know, we're just thrilled to have you. KHOI and Maximum Ames have been working together, and it's just going to be one hell of a good time this weekend, or this coming weekend, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I am too, and I am always, always looking forward to getting back to Ames, Iowa. I lived there for so many years, and my heart is there still.
Tell me what brought you to Iowa and what kept you around. Was it our interesting sense of musical influences, or what brought you to our humble little state?
Well, it was my partner's job.
Uh-huh.
She worked at ISU. It was her first job after getting her PhD. And, you know, when you get a PhD, you have to go where the best job is. That's how academia works. And she asked me when, as she was applying for jobs or thinking about applying for jobs, is there any place you just absolutely don't want to go? And I said, well, I don't want to go to either Dakota, I don't want to go to West Texas, and I don't want to go to Iowa. And I said that because years before, I had played a nooner at a community college in the eastern part of Iowa, and it wasn't a very satisfying show. That was my takeaway from Iowa. So, and that kind of tells you how much pull I have, you know, with this whole thing. Is because we did move to Iowa because that was the best job for her, and it was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Says here, I noticed a couple of interesting points on your bio pages as I was looking it over. One of the ways that you are described is Southern blues and finely crafted original music with passionate storytelling and innovative guitar work. One of the quotes that I really like best here is, she celebrates tribulation and triumph. That's a great quote. Tell me about what it means to celebrate tribulation.
Oh, well, okay. See, I tend to write pretty dark songs.
Uh-huh.
And lots of the songwriters I know tend to do that. Not all of them, but lots of them. And, you know, I'm into it. I roll around in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I love it. I love talking and singing about what is difficult. But I love thinking about it. And as a songwriter, I love other people's problems. I just love them. I love other people's tribulations. And I tend to mostly write in first person,
mm-hmm.
but often the songs are not actually about me.
Mm-hmm.
Often they're about someone else's problem.
I remember listening to just an entire day's worth of blues music as I was cleaning the house, everything from some very dark stuff from the Counting Crows to B.B. King and so on and so forth. And my wife is like, Gildy, hon, what is this with you and blues today? And my quote was, look, the reason we listen to and play the blues is because it reminds us that no matter how crappy our life is, it ain't as bad as that guy's.
Well, it's so true. It's so true. And the other thing is, it's great to feel something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great to feel something. And in fact, I'm a gut writer. I write by inspiration and gut, and so that's how I write, so I need to feel that stuff.
Sure.
And I have a few happy songs. Granted, it's a few.
Another quote that I saw from the page which struck me was that your exceptional songwriting and lyrics are a quintessential influence on the Iowa sound. I'd love to know where that come from. And when we talk about an Iowa sound, if you have an idea of what that means.
I sort of no longer think of the Iowa sound in the way that I used to think of the Iowa sound. What I used to think about with the Iowa sound is a group of musicians that I was on a label with, a label out of Iowa City called Trailer Records. It was run by David Zolo, who's a wonderful musician. And there were people on that label with me, like, for instance, Greg Brown, who has had, you know, a very, very successful career as a singer-songwriter, and a guy who plays guitar with him often, Bo Ramsey, had records on Trailer Records. And that's what I thought of as the Iowa sound, that sort of dark kind of blues influenced sort of a sound. You know, it's part of Americana music, but really just a fragment of that very, very broad category. And that's what I thought of as the Iowa sound. And that is how I have shaped my sound. I have been hugely influenced as a guitar player by Bo Ramsey, you know, and it's true. It's not that I sound like Bo Ramsey, but I booked a community concert series in Ames for a while in my early years there, and I booked Bo Ramsey. So he played the first set of his show, and I felt, as the booker, very responsible for how everything went, and he announced that he was going to play his last song of the set, and I thought, oh, no, oh, man, this guy's only been playing like 20 minutes or so, and he's supposed to be playing twice that long, and the rest of the people on the committee are going to be mad that I have, you know, had this person in who's not fulfilling the contract. And I looked down at my watch, and he had been playing for an hour.
There you go. It's one of those remarkable moments. I know.
It was amazing, and it changed the way that I think about creating music as a guitar player, but also as a songwriter. And I don't sound like Bo Ramsey, but I tried to put that deep feel into everything that I do that Bo is a master of. So.
Sure.
So Bo gave me that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I am familiar with Bo Ramsey myself, and I must admit, I've looked online and found a couple of YouTube videos for a couple of different songs of yours, and I think they're divine, personally. Someone asked me, and I hope I don't embarrass you too terribly much, but somebody who was unfamiliar with you asked me what I thought of you and how I might describe you. And quite honestly, I said, well, if you take two healthy mixes of Bonnie Raitt back when she was serious blue, back in the 70s and 80s when she was still very blues, and a little bit of that amazing power of Melissa Etheridge, and you mix them together, that's what you get when you listen to B.J. Fleming.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's a huge compliment. And, you know, one of my earliest experiences with going to hear live music was going to a folk festival in Philadelphia. I lived in Greensboro, North Carolina at the time. And I heard Bonnie Raitt play there for the first time. And it was so extraordinary.
Yeah.
It was great. She's such a great singer, such a great guitar player. In those days, not a songwriter at all, but she knew how to pick them.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, did she. So you appear Saturday the 5th at noon, and you'll be at the main stage.
Okay, that's good to know.
You'll get...
I'm glad you know these things. I just thought that I would show up downtown and that it would become obvious where I was supposed to be, or there would be somebody there I could ask.
Oh,
or,
don't you worry about it. If it's not somebody from the station itself, it'll be somebody from Max Ames, maybe Nate or Chris. We'll get you where you need to be.
Oh, so good. Okay,
when you
good.
Need to be there.
Good. And, you know, I was going to say that when we were talking about the Iowa Sound,
yeah.
And I used to think of it, you know, as Bo Ramsey, Greg Brown, and
Greg
later
Brown.
On Andy Fleming of Brother Trucker. I now think of it in a much broader way because I'm a huge Mumfords fan.
Yay!
I
all right.
I'm such a fan of the songwriting in that band. It gets me, you know, and I so deeply appreciate what Nate and Chris have done to make the music scene in Ames, Iowa just explode.
Absolutely right.
And I think what I have learned from them as a musician, you know, music tends to be competitive.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly. I have learned from them to be inclusive, that mm-hmm. the way you build a scene and make it feel great mm-hmm. is by being inclusive. So they have given me that.
Well, that's absolutely true. We've worked very closely with them for quite some time, and Nate and Chris are both good friends of mine, and I think what they've done for the music scene here in Ames is absolutely remarkable.
Absolutely remarkable.
Well, I certainly appreciate your time. I've just got one more question that okay. I ask all my interviews.
Uh-oh.
So make sure that cup of coffee you mentioned in the email yesterday is topped off, and here we go.
Okay.
If you could spend an hour with one person, living or dead, who would that person be, and what might you talk about?
I would spend my time with a musician, Sister Rosetta Thorpe.
Ah.
Because, you know, I came to her very late in my music life. And my friends tell me this. I tend to not be a fan. Like, I really go my own way. I mean, I don't listen to other people's music nearly as much as I probably should. So I found her late, and I don't know popular music at all, and I don't know real much, you know, music before my own time either. So I just know these odd people that not many other people know about. But anyway, Sister Rosetta was such an extraordinarily good guitar player. You know, and it's nice that you mentioned Bonnie Raitt when you were talking about what I might sound like, because, you know, there was a time, and it's changing now, there was a time that, as far as I knew, there weren't great female guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
But there were.
Oh, yes.
Because Sister Rosetta Thorpe was doing it. And I didn't know that. You know, I didn't know that. But there she was. And now, you know, thank goodness for the Internet. Now there's even video of her playing. She was a fabulous guitar player. I would love to sit down with her and ask her what that was like. What
sure.
it was like to be, you know, one of the only hotshot female guitar players at a time when there weren't many. And how did she learn? And how did it impact her life? Was she able to stay on an even keel? Because lots of people cannot.
No, that's true. We could talk about that ad nauseum.
We could.
So
we could.
One last thing. I want you to try and give me a song from your library that you would most like for us to throw into this interview that speaks to who B.J. Fleming is and what her music is meant to say.
Okay. it's all on Reverb Nation and Bandcamp. I think you can get whole versions. So now we've talked about, you know, the heavy influence of Bo Ramsey and that kind of thing, and that sort of Southern blues approach that I have to a lot of things. But I'm going to give you a song that isn't that.
Okay.
Even though I love that. I think what I'll have you play is a song called Rudy's, and it's off the album Destination Unimportant, which was produced by David Zolo. And I'm going to give you that one. It's a song co-written with Andy Fleming of Brother Trucker.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Fleming, in my opinion, is one of the greatest songwriters on the planet. And I love it that I was able to co-write a song with him. I love the way he writes. And I love that song because there's so much of Andy in it. It's funny, he gave me the fragment, and his idea was this really hard rockin' sort of thing. But I didn't know that, and I turned it into something entirely different. So I'll give you that one, Rudy's.
Rudy's from Destination Unimportant.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. Well, BJ Fleming, thank you so much for spending time with us this afternoon. It's been a joy talking to you, and I really hope I get a chance to meet you in person next week. I'm going to do whatever I can to make that happen.
I hope so, too. And it turns out that I have some time in between shows. I've added on a show to the tour with some days in between. So let's make that happen because, you know, I told you that I'm nervous at interviews, but I have loved talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Car in the parking lot of Rudy's. The heat from the kitchen started messing with his head. The dinner crowd's not in yet. It's still so very early. As he stares off at a speck there in the sky, he wants to fly. Destination unimportant, spread his wings like an angel and fly, 'cause we all got wings. That's what the boy tells me. We are steady on his face. Above the cloud of jet trails out, his vision's getting blurry as he rubs the drops of rain from his eyes. He wants to fly. Destination unimportant, spread his wings like an angel. Thank you. dash out to the parking lot of Roots. Today's a double shift, starting messing with the feet. It's so very late. She thinks of him, she worries, then she shuffles on like someone. Destination unimportant, spread her wings like an angel and fly, cause we all got wings. That's what the boy tells her.
You are listening to Heart of Iowa on KHOI Community Radio. We are talking about this upcoming weekend in Ames, an event that has been in the making for 150 years, since the day that Ames was platted as a town in 1864. That last guest was B.J. Fleming, interviewed by Alan Gildahouse, and we also heard a clip of her music. Now we turn from music to the performing arts and Carol Horowitz, whom many of you know as the host of KHOI Previews the Arts, which airs on alternating Thursdays with the present show, Heart of Iowa. Carol was on the other end of the interview microphone in our studio earlier this weekend on Local Talk.
Carol Horowitz, you're a member of the subcommittee of the Sesquicentennial Celebration Committee. And in particular, you're working on the Chautauqua tent that's going to be held during these celebrations, and you're helping to produce the show that's going to be in the tent. Is that correct?
That's correct. Ames is celebrating its sesquicentennial, and this is its 150th anniversary. And so as part of that celebration, because it's all year round, members of the city have decided that this was a good time July 4th to celebrate a festival of Ames. This is just one of them, but it's very special because it's July 4th.
Sounds great. Okay. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun because there's other things happening. We start on the 3rd. They have an event in Ryman Gardens. And then July 3rd is when they're going to have the fireworks. Then they're going to have the 4th, of course, downtown Main Street Friday. There's a parade and a lot of activities. So it's a celebration. We're celebrating Ames. And as part of that celebration, there's a little history. And so my committee and the committee that is chaired by Carolyn Klaus, we are producing a Chautauqua. A Chautauqua, which, as you earlier heard, the definition of Chautauqua, this is what we're doing. This is something that's happened in Ames through the years. I mean, really through the years. I mean, in the early 1900s, and then we had the 100th anniversary in 1964, and we had a Chautauqua.
This is doing something that gives continuity.
Well, it gives continuity, but it's informational, because it's going to be, we're going to do some really interesting things.
Where is this Chautauqua going to be?
We're going to have a tent at Banshell Park.
It's going to look like a circus tent, or what will it look like?
We're going to seat 300 people, but it's not going to fill the whole park. So weather permitting, you're going to bring your blanket. You're going to bring chairs or you're going to sit in a chair because we're going to have things inside the tent as well.
And there's going to be a stage in the tent?
No, there's going to be a stage in the band shell. So the performers are going to be performing on the stage, and we're going to have MCs. We've got Mel Crippen, and then we've got an actor's person, Stan Raby.
Uh-huh.
But we also are going to have things inside the tent. We're going to have a panel discussion with people like Professor Dennis Goldford, who is a professor of political science at Drake University, along with Rachel Payne Caulfield. And they are going to talk about the history of Iowa's caucus involvement. So we just have a whole schedule of events, one thing after the other. Nothing's concurrent. Also in the tent, we'll have Gloria Betcher and her husband, Doug Biggs. They have done a lot of research and have a book, Ames. And they're going to do a PowerPoint talking about their book and Ames. We're also going to have the League of Women Voters. The League of Women Voters are going to be in the tent telling about the history of that organization. On stage, we have brought back Ames High School graduates who are professionals in performance. And so Caleb Polacek, who is now he is a violinist extraordinaire. He is now with the Austin Symphony Orchestra. We have Kathy Compton, who's a soprano, who has been on a Fulbright to Leipzig, Germany, and performed in one of the largest opera houses in Germany. And she now is working in Denver. She's coming back to perform as well. Then we have community young people. We have the Iowa Youth Ballet are going to perform. We're going to have the Ames Children's Choir performing. And we have the First Church of Ames going to do a presentation. Jan Bauer wrote a little playlet that will describe the First Ames Church history. And that'll be as a play. And at 6 o'clock, the League of Women Voters. If you haven't registered to vote, they're going to have people at a table, and they will register you to vote at 6 o'clock on Saturday, July 5th. And then we're going to wrap up with the mayor. Not Fred Hoiberg. Ann Campbell.
I'm speaking right now with Carol Horowitz, in case you're just checking in. And we're talking about the Chautauqua, which is going to be on Saturday, July 5th, in the Banshell Park, and is going to be a mixture of entertainment and education and just a general celebration of the culture of this community and its history. Carol is part of the organizing committee that's organizing the productions that are going to occur. Carol, please continue and tell us a little bit more about
it. Well, what I was going to say is a real highlight at noontime, we're going to have a style show. We're going to have a style show of vintage styles through the years. Mary Jane Clitheroe, who is a longtime resident of Ames, happens to have a collection of dresses and clothes from the ages. And the only problem they had is that not a lot of women anymore are size 2 to 6. So you're going to see a lot of very, very carefully groomed ladies wearing these clothes. Some of the clothes can't be worn because they are too fragile. And so we'll have mannequins for that. And so we have that style show. Diane Wilson is really putting this together.
And when is that again?
Noon on the 5th at the Chautauqua at the band show. And the commentator is Linda Glance Ward. Linda Glance Ward is very well known in this community, and she will do a terrific job in being able to tell us about all those fashions. Also, we have gotten Robin Dennis and her very talented daughter, Kelsey. Kelsey's at Northwestern University, and Robin happens to be performing with actors in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And Can't Get Away From Me. And the presentations are going to be about 20 minutes, except our political panel will be a little longer, and certainly the fashion style show will be a little longer.
Will there be breaks in between, or pretty much any time you come, there's going to be something going on?
It's all the time. I mean, it's scheduled for every 20 minutes, and in all likelihood, we're not going to be exactly on time, and so we'll be tearing our hair out, you think?
You're going to be there managing things?
I'll be there, and we'll have very competent stage managers. You know, you just wait and fingers crossed that everything falls into place, and if somebody is in charge of weather, they can help us with that.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to tell you about this committee that really helped put this schedule together and all these people, made up of Marla and Mike Miller, they will perform. Also, if anybody saw Free to Be You and Me, which was an actor show last season, they played the babies. It's a Mel Brooks skit. So if you know Mike and Marla, you know it's going to be fun. So Mike and Marla, and then Ronnie Lindemann is very valuable and kind of keeps me on the straight and narrow. So that's the Chautauqua Production Committee, and Phyllis Craig and Ronnie Lindemann and Diane Wilson and Carolyn Klaus, they're the Chautauqua Committee General, and then we are the Production Committee.
And you're part of the general organization here in town to celebrate the 150th anniversary.
Carolyn really she's got her finger in all the events committee and the others. By the way, Caleb Polachek, who is now with the Austin Symphony, he's playing, but in another one of our experiences, he's going to perform with his dad, Emeril Polachek, and his dad plays accordion, and they're just very talented. So it's through the day, so you could keep coming back, and we're going to have vendors, selling food, but also Main Street will have a lot of vendors as well. So and there's places to eat on Main Street.
So this is 10 to 6.
Saturday, the 5th of July.
From 10 to 6.
From 10 o'clock
to Chautauqua.
It's the Chautauqua from 10 to 6. And we have Mike King, who happens to be the director of the Bandshell, but he's also a storyteller. He's going to perform for us. Also, it dawned on me and others that Iowa State University was here before Ames. So maybe we should have something about Iowa State University. And so we do.
Just like that?
Just like that, we're going to have it. It wasn't just like that. It was just, I know.
A lot of work, right?
I do know everyone who's going to be out of town this. So it's interesting, fun, challenging, and hopefully it's going to turn out. Your fingers crossed. But I wanted to try to get somebody who is in town and would be a wonderful spokesperson for Iowa State, just to say something about Iowa State and maybe even wish Ames well. And that's Carol Custer. And then we're going to have Dr. George Washington Carver is coming.
The one that worked at Iowa State?
Yeah.
Really?
He's coming. And actually, if I have to tell you, it's a young man who's an Iowa State graduate who happens to be an attorney now, but he does Dr. George Washington Carver, and he's coming back from Chicago. He's coming from Chicago to do his thing. It's very exciting.
We're talking with Carol Horwitz, who is on the committee for the Chautauqua Tent, which is going up on July 5th.
It's a Saturday.
Carol is also KHOI's very own arts producer who does KHOI Previews the Arts every other Thursday at noon.
Yeah, and last Thursday we had Maestro Joseph Zsunta came to our studios, which was very exciting that he chose to do that. And we were quite excited with that opportunity. And
absolutely. Well, that's what we're all about here is celebrating the arts and the accomplishments of people. And it sounds like, in a way, the Chautauqua Tent is really about that, too. It's a coming together of the talent we have in this town, the talent that has come out of this town.
That's part of it. But we're sharing some history because this is a replication of an event that has happened in Ames before. And in my research, I noted that in 1904, William Jennings Bryan was here. And why don't you share with us what you had said in terms of where the Chautauqua Tent had been early on?
Yeah, we learned that the Chautauqua used to be held regularly where the Lincoln Shopping Center is now.
I know Hy-Vee and the temporary library.
Yeah, I know it as the Target shopping center, but that dates me.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, Carol, why?
There is no nutshell.
Why go to the Chautauqua? Why is this going to be a great thing to do?
As part of Ames, and I'm sure you're having company, and you can really show off, and this is the 150th anniversary of your city, show off Ames by showing how in this Chautauqua, what we can do in this community. And we're going to have a program so you'll know what time different things are going to happen. There's a lot of other things that you're going to be proud of in Ames this weekend. But if you have any interest in Ames, the talent that we have, the information we're going to share, Chautauqua is the history part. And we will start the event with a very exciting experience because the governor issued us a special proclamation for the Chautauqua of Ames. And so we will start our presentation, our day, with reading of the proclamation sent by the governor.
Well, thank you, Carol, for the work you're doing. On behalf of the community, we're talking about the Chautauqua, July 5th. From 10 to
6 o'clock
in the Banshell Park.
In the Banshell Park in Ames off of Duff.
So this is the Chautauqua. It's citizenship. It's entertainment. It's history. It's information. And it sounds like it's going to be good for a few laughs.
I think so.
And it's going to be colorful.
And it's colorful.
So, Carol, how do you spell Chautauqua?
Chautauqua.
Say it again slowly.
Chautauqua.
Okay, there you have it.
It took a while because I didn't want to put all those U's in. But
seems
it's
like
got a lot
U's.
Of U's. But that's, you know, it's
an Indian word. Yeah.
Indian word. Have a lot of U's.
Thank you, Carol.
Well,
thank you for
you.
Coming.
And
very
I think
exciting.
Everybody I think everybody should come to the Chautauqua plan on a day of interesting and exciting events. You're going to see your friends performing, and you're going to see your friends in the audience. So it's a very special day.
And you're going to know your community just a little bit better, I think.
I think so. And be even more proud than you were before you went to the Chautauqua.
Okay. Well, happy 150th birthday, Carol.
Well, it feels that way.
Okay.
That's all for our show today. Hope to see you all out there this weekend, and let's cross our fingers for good weather. This has been Heart of Iowa on KHOI Community Radio. Our guests were Nate Logsdon, B.J. Fleming, and Carol Horowitz. Reporters included Cynthia McClure, Ursula Rudenberg, and Alan Gildahouse. I've been your host, Greta Anderson, and Rick Morrison engineered the show. Our theme music is Fisherman by Leo Kottke from 6 and 12 string guitar. A podcast of this show will be available online, as well as links to a schedule of the featured events this weekend. That's at khoifm.org. As always, your support as listener, as well as your generous contributions, are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.